The Detroit Pistons loss to the Los Angeles Clippers was one of the worst endings I've seen in quite a while. However, I'm not going to let that cloud what we're seeing from some of the Pistons' young guys. And specifically, I want to talk about in today's episode, their young big guy, their third-year big guy, Isaiah Stewart.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I am your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Now, it's been you know, a little bit over 24 hours since when I'm recording this, since the Pistons lost to the Clippers. I think, have you guys calmed down? Are you guys okay now? Are you guys all right? I've calmed down. I've calmed down a little bit. I've relaxed. You know, I've taken it easy. Are you guys okay? Just let me know. I need to know if you guys are all right. Because that loss had just about every Pistons fan, every member of the Pistons community shaken. I've never seen, and it deservedly so, I have never seen collectively the Pistons community be as shaken and just flat out disappointed and let down like they were after the Clippers loss. And again, like I said, deservedly so. So I'm just checking in, man. I hope you guys have calmed down. You guys have relaxed. You guys have, you know, picked yourselves back up, because it was a tough loss. And I believe I talked about it in the last episode too, when we, you know, I spent the whole podcast just, you know, lack of energy, just, you know, loss of words. Just, I believe I did say that this was one of the toughest losses, not just because of how it ended, but because all the way up till then, the final 3 minutes of that game, the Pistons had played so well. You've seen so many good things that you wanted to talk about that you know, I wanted to talk about in the podcast, that you just weren't able to talk about immediately after a finish like that because of how historically bad it was. But like I said, it's been a little over 24 hours now since that game. And now I feel comfortable talking about some of the positives from that game. And before I talk about, which we're going to talk about Isaiah Stewart, who continues to really shine bright. I just want to say this. I saw a lot of Pistons fans arguing, even in the comment section of the last podcast. And I saw a lot of you guys is arguing on Twitter too. Like, I saw this argument going on amongst Pistons fans. I just want to comment real quick. There's nothing wrong with, you know, wanting to find positives out of that loss, wanting to focus on the positives, wanting to not just let it cloud every, you know, the way it ended, cloud everything. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and fans should be able to react however they, well, maybe not however they want. Sometimes you guys can be, you know, some reactions can be a little bit toxic, but I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, with a loss like that, that had so many good things playing into it for the first 45 minutes. I almost think it's impossible to just act like those things didn't happen. And I'm okay with fans looking for those positives instead of focusing on how it ended. I know you guys were getting into it with each other saying, no, you know, that's awful for culture. You shouldn't care about the positives, et cetera, et cetera. It was like this big civil war going on. I just wanted to say, I think it's fine. If you guys want to focus on those positives, focus on those positives, because there were a lot in that game. Just the ending was just so horrific that, you know, it clouded over or something. But one of the positives was Isaiah Stewart. And I think I've made about 3 podcasts on Isaiah Stewart specifically over like the past month and a half. And I'm going to say the same thing I opened up with in all those podcasts. Isaiah Stewart somewhat fallen to the background. You know, Killian Hayes took over a lot of the light because of how he had turned his season around, how he's been playing. Obviously, I talk about Killian Hayes a lot because I'm a big believer in Killian Hayes. But not just on this podcast. Killian Hayes started to take a lot of the attention in the Pistons community. Then you had Jaden Ivey, obviously, the Pistons' fifth overall pick. Then you have Jalen Duren being elevated to the starting lineup, averaging a double-double in the starting lineup since he was elevated. That takes a lot of the shine. And obviously, Cade Cunningham, the injury, getting surgery, etc. There's a lot of things that have taken the spotlight for the Detroit Pistons over the last few weeks. Sadiq Bey struggles. Like, a lot of things have taken the spotlight. But what I think really has not had enough spotlight this year is Isaiah Stewart. He's been performing really, really, really well. And he played another fantastic game against the Los Angeles Clippers. Over the last 14 games since he returned from his injury, Isaiah Stewart is shooting 42% from deep on 4.6 attempts. That's absurd. You guys remember before the year, I had no anticipation that he would be able to shoot this well. I thought he'd hover around 32, 33%, possibly even 31%. I didn't think it was incredibly likely for someone who had such a low sample size of shooting from beyond the arc through 2 years would just come into this year and be a good shooter. I didn't think it was going to happen. And he's completely proven me wrong. It has happened. 100% has happened. He's been a good shooter for the Detroit Pistons. And by the numbers, he's been one of their better shooters. It's a wild development, especially for me. Again, for someone who didn't think that was, you know, really realistic to see happen. It's been amazing for me to see. And I wanted to give him so much credit for that. But another part of his game that we're starting to see improve, and we talked about this a little bit during the watch party that I host with Bryce Simon of the Pistons Pulse podcast. Watch party is Pistons Watch over at playback.tv. If you guys want to join us during one of the games, I'll put it in the description below. A lot of fun over there. Definitely come join us. But we were talking about during the watch party is two things. One of the assists that Killian Hayes had late in the game, he drove down the baseline and he whipped a left-handed pass to Isaiah Stewart, the right wing. And one of the best things that he did and one of the best things he showed on that play wasn't just the fact that he made that shot. But you guys will remember, I talked about this a lot in the offseason with him. One of the bigger things that he had to improve on, not just becoming, you know, going from 5 to 4, one of the things he had to improve on was knowing how to rotate offensively as a catch and shooter. You guys remember I'd always talk about Isaiah Livers being fantastic at this. He knew how to, you know, knew where to spot up, knew where to rotate to when guys started driving, knew how to relocate. He's great at it. I talked about how Isaiah Stewart, if he was going to play the four, that's another thing that you had to improve on. Now, at the end of the game, it looked like Isaiah Stewart or Killian Hayes wanted Isaiah Stewart to shift down to the corner. Stu stayed at the right wing. So he's not perfect at this by any means. But he's made already such a big transformation or big improvement in that department. Because on that play that we talked about at the beginning, he rotated from the right corner and gave Killian Hayes an outlet by rotating up to the right wing and cashed it. Fantastic. Absolutely love seeing it. That's just one of those things. Again, it doesn't show up in the box score. You know, it's not one of the biggest things out there that you're going to see people talking about. But for me, that's something he had to add to his game if he was going to be able to play the forward position. He had to be able to relocate. He had to be able to feel comfortable moving around the perimeter without the basketball. And he's shown him he's not perfect. But from game one to December 28th, he's already shown such a big, big improvement in that area. And I couldn't be happier for him. He's improving at a rate that I didn't think was possible at all this season. At all. I didn't think it was possible. And then secondly, you guys will remember this as well if you guys have been listening to the podcast. I believe last week, one of the episodes last week, I said that we had been seeing Isaiah Stewart start to put the ball on the ground a little bit more, but against smaller fours. I didn't see him do it much against bigger guys just as big as him. And he didn't look as comfortable doing it when he did try it against them. So I was watching to see if he got more comfortable against doing it against bigger guys, against centers or stronger fours or actual, you know, power fours instead of undersized fours playing that position. I told you guys I wanted to watch for it. And we got some of that in this game against the Los Angeles Clippers. There was one play specifically where he took Ivaka Zubac off the dribble after pump faking and took him to the rim and ended with the fantastic dunk, fantastic finish, fantastic dribble drive. Again, just where he was from the beginning, he still travels some. I saw a video today that Dwayne Casey and the training staff was trying to help him with, you know, not traveling so much on the little pump fake and drives. He still travels some. It's not always perfect. But again, where he was in game one to where he is now, December 28th, in the relocation department and being able to improve and taking people off the dribble, the improvement you've seen from that area, along with the fact he's shooting 40 freaking percent from deep, he's improving, you know, he's improving at such a, just a fantastic rate that, you know, I know the Pistons are losing. I know they have some terrible losses. I know that Clippers loss was awful to have, but man, I can't help but feel excited for the Pistons because look, you have some struggles from guys. You don't see it to see Cade all year this year. Sadiq Bey has struggled. You know, Jaden Ivey has been, you know, inconsistent, but you've seen the what made him the pick at the five. You can see those flashes. But three guys specifically have made this season, seeing their improvement from game one to now, have me excited as a Pistons fan. And it's Isaiah Stewart, it's Killian Hayes, and Jalen freaking Duren. Those guys, how much they've improved just within the first 30 games of the year, how much you can see them taking game to game to game so serious in their career and trying to add something new and trying to improve upon something makes me excited. So, yes, I know they're losing. And I know they have some tough losses. But, man, there's no way you can tell me you watching what Isaiah Stewart looks like right now compared to where he was last year or, heck, even the beginning of this year and not say to yourself, man, they're developing, man. Some of these players are legit developing beyond right in front of our eyes. There's some struggles from some players. There's some inconsistency for some players. But a few players, we're watching legit development happen right in front of our eyes. And Isaiah Stewart's one of them who just has not been getting enough of the spotlight. And I had to give him some because, man, this has been – I love what I've been seeing from Isaiah Stewart. Beef Stew, living up to the name, man. He's been great. Fantastic in this development for him, man. Let me know what you guys think about his development, what you guys have been seeing from him in the comment section or over on Twitter. If you're listening on any podcast platform, at Kook Hill. When we come back, before this Clippers game, we got, you know, some statements from Dwayne Casey that I hadn't even seen yet about their struggles coming out of halftime and possibly tweaking the starting lineup. What's that about? What do I think about that? What did he say? We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. First up, I have to tell you guys a little bit about Price Picks. Now, Price Picks is daily fantasy that, you know, I have so much fun with this app. I've been using it nonstop for probably the last few weeks. Now, before I was dibble-dabbling in it, but I've been using it every single day for the last few weeks, and it's been so much fun. So what makes Price Picks so much more fun than any other option? Well, they have cross-sports entries, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. You're not going against anybody else. You know, it's just the over-under on player props. That's why I absolutely love it. For example, you can take Luka Doncic over in his points. You can take the over in Steph Curry's three-pointers made, and then also take the over in Patrick Mahomes' passing yards or Travis Kelce touchdowns. You can do all that and put it into the exact same entry over at PrizePicks, and that's probably what makes it the most fun. For me, you simply pick 2 to 6 players to see if they score more or less than their price fix projection, and you could win up to 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Price Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's just that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the PrizePicks app or go to PrizePicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports today. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. It's just that simple. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100 at Price Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. And for those of you guys who are really, really interested in our sponsor just now, Price Picks, I'm going to let you guys know this right now. If you guys need a little bit of some help, you feel me? You guys need some advice, you know, you're new to it. You know, you need some advice. You need some good entries. You know, I might have some for you. You know, I'm a little bit of a, you know, partial owner. If you guys have seen that TikTok, that's a funny trend. But no, for real though, I've been so active on that Price Picks. And I'll give you guys one advice right now. And then we'll move into the statement from Dwayne Casey. This is for all the people who listen to us who are into betting. As long as PrizePicks continues to have Killian Hayes at over-under at 10.5, continue to take the over. Because he's hit it far more than he's hit and then he's not hit it. And it's been, you know, one of my more comfortable plays to have. So make sure you guys, if you guys are using the promo code Locked On at Prize Picks. That's what I'm going to say. I think you guys should go ahead and take advantage of that one. But anyways, let's get into this statement that was made from Dwayne Casey. Now, this is before the game against the Los Angeles Clippers. I didn't see this statement. I just saw it today. Right before I recorded, I saw this. And again, I had no clue about this. I didn't see it. Many people talk about this. It kind of flew on the radar for whatever reason. But the Pistons, obviously, they're the worst team in the entire NBA in the third quarter. The third quarter is just not kind to them at all. They've been outscored before the Clippers game in the last five games, 180 to 118 in the third quarter. It's been really, really bad for them in the third quarter. Now, against the Clippers, actually, they won the third quarter, and they took a big lead in the third quarter. So maybe that was a sign for things to come, and maybe what he said here won't matter now because they had a really good third quarter against the Clippers. Who knows? But before the game against the Clippers, Dwayne Casey said about this, he said, quote, "It's evident that we're not coming out with the right approach. Whatever approach we've tried going to halftime, it's not working. I've got to look at it. Our staff has to look at it to see what we can do to tweak and come out with a different lineup in the second half or even the starting unit," end quote. So I have a problem with this statement. I do. No. Let me change why I said that. Not the statement itself. I have a problem. Maybe a problem isn't the right word. I have a question. Maybe a question or just a point to raise here about this whole idea of, you know, maybe tweak the starting lineup or maybe we come out in the second half with a different lineup so we can avoid this or all this stuff. I just have a point to bring up. Maybe not a problem. Just anyone who wants to bring up this possibility, this is why I say back to you. What are you changing it to? What lineup change are you making that you think makes it better? That you think you'll also like, too. One that will make it better and you're also like. Because if you want just a better basketball product on the floor, then you'll probably have to sit Bojan or you'll have to sit Jaden Ivey. Because we've talked about this on the podcast so many times. And I've seen other Pistons podcasts talk about it so many times. I've seen the beat writers talk about this nonstop. I've seen Dwayne Casey talk about this nonstop after games. Their defense is horrific. And a lot of the reason why their defense is so horrific is that Bojan Bogdanovic was one of the worst defenders in the entire NBA. And Jaden Ivey is also one of the worst defenders right now in the NBA. Jaden Ivey gets a little bit of a pass because he's a rookie and most rookies aren't that good defensively, even though, if you want to be honest, he's probably been a little worse than most rookies usually are. But also Bojan Bogdanovic, like I said, he's not a good defender. He's bad. He's an actively bad defender. So if you want to make it better, that involves sitting one of those two guys. Are you guys cool with sitting one of those guys so you can get a little bit of a better product in the third quarter? I'm going to assume that your guys' answer will be hell no. No one's if Dwayne Casey came out and bench Jaden Ivey for like better defense so they can avoid, you know, the second quarter or third quarter, whatever, the fan base would riot and be outside his house in like a matter of minutes. There's no way you guys would be on board with that. It'd piss off everybody. No one would want that. And are you going to sit Bojan Bogdanovic, who's their lead scorer, their best shooter, their best scorer? Are you going to sit him down for that? The vet that you just paid, is he going to be cool with that? Hell no, he's not going to be cool with that. So, listen, it's a cool thing to talk about. It's a cool thing to just go ahead, throw out there and try, you know, get people talking. But I don't know what there's nothing. What's the change here? What's happening? What are you doing that's apparently supposed to make things better? And I tweeted this out right after the game against the Clippers. And this is another thing to it, too. People get on Dwayne Casey nonstop. And look, I've been one of the people that have been very critical of Dwayne Casey. You guys know I'm not the biggest fan of Dwayne Casey. I've been critical of him before. People want to get on some of the players. But you want to know who, if you want to talk about the product right now, for me, I don't think it matters in the bigger picture because you're still getting the end goal at the end of the season, which is figure out who will be here, who should be here moving forward when they start to make a competitive team next year, try to go for the playoffs. So I don't think this right here affects the bigger picture. But if we want to talk about the current product, you want to know who's to blame for this? Troy Weaver. And it's because when Dwayne Casey says something like this, says, you know, maybe we need to change the starting lineup. Maybe we need to do something like this, to, you know, change things up to get better defense to, or against the Clippers when you're with them, you have a minute left and you need somebody on the wing to check Paul George, or you need someone on the wing that has some size to play some really good defense. When you need that, Dwayne Casey has no options. There's not a singular good wing defender on this team. Not a singular one. Maybe Isaiah Livers, but he's hurt. And I'm starting to believe that maybe Isaiah Livers was a little bit overrated by all of us because we're lacking that so – the Pistons are lacking that so much that when we saw him play any kind of competitive defense, we immediately crowned him. Because it's so rare to see it. Like, as soon as we saw it, we're like, oh, my God, we need it. We need it. So, again, like I said, if you want to blame anybody for that, I think, again, if we want to just talk about the current product, I don't think it affects the bigger picture. But if you just want to talk about the current product, that's on Weaver. Because Dwayne Casey doesn't have any options here. He doesn't. Even if he had, even if Dwayne Casey had the balls to piss all of you off, to piss off everybody and bench one of Jay and Ivy and Bojan Bogdanovic, just so you could get a better product on the floor in the third quarters with defense. Even, let's just say he was able to do that. He actually did do it. He doesn't have anybody to replace that's going to play much better defense. Who is he putting out there that's going to make this difference defensively? There's no options. We saw what happened. I've been telling you guys for the longest. Diallo is not a good defender. He plays with his hands, not his feet. And you saw it as soon as he was the option that they brought in the fourth quarter. Big mistake. He played with his hands. He fouled Paul George on the first time he had to guard him. And then the second one, he messed up two switches back-to-back, trying to be a little too aggressive. Him and Stu were on the same page with a switch. I thought they were going to game the Pistons with a Terrence Mann 3. It was wide open. It was just bad. So Diallo's not the answer. He's not a good defender. Kevin Knox has been, I guess, average this year, but that's mostly because he just tries. He just tries hard. So, I mean, he's not a great defender. Bojan's awful defensively. Sadiq's awful defensively. Dwayne Casey has no option here. So, again, like I said, you could talk about changing the starting lineup. It's a cool thing to throw out there. But no, there's no option for Dwayne Casey to actually change it with that I think would make any kind of difference. I don't see it. The one legit difference he could have made at the beginning of the year is the one they've made. And that's start Jalen Duren instead of starting Bojan Sadiq, the worst wing pairing defensively in the entire NBA, together. And there was actually an advanced stat that I saw last week. I forget which one it was, but it was a defensive metric. And it had Sadiq Bey and Bojan Bogdanovic in the bottom 10 of defenders in the entire NBA. And listen, no matter how you feel about advanced stats, we watched the Pistons all year. That advanced statistic, that metric, 100% matches the eye test, even if you hate advanced stats. It matches the eye test. Those guys were terrible together. So, again, that's just where I'm at with that. You know, I think they just have to accept that. That's just one of those things I feel like the coaching staff's going to have to accept. Fans are going to have to accept. You know, writers, the content creators, you know, ones who cover the team. Just going to have to accept. This team's terrible defensively. It's not going to get better. They're probably going to continue to be bad defensively in the third quarter simply because they have bad defenders and they don't have any other options about it. So focus on other things. Focus on the young guys' development. Focus on them offensively. Do these guys take some steps forward offensively? And get excited for the occasional Jalen Duren block, the occasional good rep from him in drop coverage, the occasional, you know, verticality moment from Jalen Duren, the occasional really good possession from Killian Hayes locking down somebody, the occasional weak side block coming from Isaiah Stewart. Be happy about those. But expecting this team to really completely change defensively or make a change in the starting lineup or anything, or make a change in the lineup for the third quarter, it's not realistic. There's no other option. It's not realistic. No way. But that's all I've got with that, man. Let me know when you guys come back or when we come – not when you guys come back. When we come back, we'll talk about another statement Dwayne Casey said. Bojan Bogdanovic, the all-star? The all-star? Is Bojan the all-star this year? We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From pro football to college bowl season to basketball, they've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net and you click on their basketball tab, you will see they got the odds on favorites for MVP, Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Most Improved Player of the Year, Head Coach of the Year, odds on favorite to win the championship this year, odds on favorite to finish with the worst record in the NBA this year. They got all that kind of stuff and more in other sports, not just basketball, but for other sports as well. NFL season is coming to a close. You can check out their odds on favorites for awards there too. Again, head to BetOnline.net, head to the website today, or use your mobile device to see all of the other sports, all of the odds on favorites they have over there, to learn more about their trends in action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support this podcast. Dwayne Casey, I don't know if I'm allowed to say what I was going to say just now. I was going to say a joke, but before I said joke, I had to stop myself. But let's just say Dwayne Casey said that Bojan Bogdanović should be an all-star this year. Let's just say if I ever came on the podcast, I'm not going to say Dwayne Casey. I'll say myself. Oh, my apologies. My mother is calling me during the podcast. Can't do that, Mom. But either way, so let's just say if I came on the podcast and I opened up this podcast with, guys, I think Bojan Bogdanović should be an all-star this year, and here is why. Before I even got into my argument for it, as soon as I said that to you guys should all be coming over here investigating this said Yeti right here, opening it up, looking inside, and saying what kind of drugs I got in here. That would be the first thing I think you guys should immediately do if I were to come on the podcast and I would start the argument with that. Me. Not nobody else. Anybody else can make that same statement. Coach, you know, front office, players, teammates, fans. You guys can all make that statement. You guys are perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with you guys. But if Kuka Heal, if I came on the podcast and said, Bojan Bogdanović is an all-star this year, and here's why. Before I even got to the argument, check this Yeti. See what's in here. Because something ain't right. So that's how I feel about, you know, talking about Bojan Bogdanović, the all-star. No, it's not. That's not happening. First of all, the Pistons are terrible. The Pistons are a very bad team. And there's no way a team that has won 8 games is getting an all-star. No, I don't care if it was Cade Cunningham averaging 23 points a game. He was not going to be an all-star on a team like this. It just wasn't going to happen. That's first. Second, did you guys listen to that last segment we just had? Bojan Bogdanović is literally one of the worst defenders in the entire NBA. He is. He's quite literally been one of the worst defenders in the entire NBA. And it's a two-way game. It just is. It's a two-way game. You can't be on the worst team in the NBA and then also one of the worst defenders in the NBA and think you even have a shot. Think that you should even be considered. People even think you should be considered to be in the All-Star game or even be to get any kind of votes. I don't care what kind of season you're putting together offensively. It ain't happening. It's not happening. So... No, look, I'm cool with Dwayne Casey. Again, that those hypothetical I gave at the beginning of the segment, that's only about me. Remember, you guys can't get me in trouble. You guys, I'm going to keep saying it so you guys can't get me in trouble. I'm talking about me. But Dwayne Casey, I get what he's doing, man. He's hyping up his player. You know, he's standing next to, you know, a player who's having a really damn good season, standing up for a vet. And he is having a really good season offensively. There's no doubt about that. Bojan's averaging 21 a game, 48% from the field, 41% from deep, 90% from the free throw line. Damn near a 50-40-90 guy. He's been uber efficient. He's shown, you know, 3-level scoring ability for the Detroit Pistons, finishing around the rim, scoring from the mid-range, scoring in the post, scoring off pin downs, you know, scoring on catch and shoot threes, off-ball movement threes, just pull-up threes. Like, he's shown the complete arsenal 3-level scoring ability for the Detroit Pistons. Absolutely no doubt about it. But all-star, no. Listen, look. Like I said, I'm cool with Dwayne Casey putting it out there, and I'm sure Bojan really appreciates that from Dwayne Casey. I'm sure he loves it. I'm sure it does great for the morale in the locker room that their head coach is going to bat for them. Absolutely. I'm all for that. But it's not a realistic conversation, and there's no way that I don't believe it. I don't believe even Dwayne Casey really believes in his heart of hearts what he just said out loud. I think he's doing exactly what I just said. Dwayne Casey's trying to stand up for his guy. He's going to bat for him, trying to give him credit, you know, maybe even help out some trade rumors, maybe even try to boost his trade value. Let everybody know, hey, you see how good he's playing? I think he should be an all-star. Look how good he's playing. I think it could be all of those things. But I believe if I was able to sit Dwayne Casey right now, I was able to look at Dwayne Casey right here. And I would say, Dwayne, we have a lie detector test right here. Do you think Bojan Bogdanovic is an all-star this year? I think you would just simply see the little scratches all over the paper on the lie detector, just going up and down, up and down, up and down, letting you know, hey, something ain't right here. I don't think he believes this one. So I'm having a little bit of fun with this one. Again, yeah, he's going to bat for his guy. I'm sure Bojan loves it. Good for the morale. No, it's not a big deal at all. I just thought I'd have some fun with this segment, have some fun with this statement. But yeah, no, Bojan's not an all-star. I don't think any of us really think that. And again, I don't think really Dwayne Casey believes it, but it's cool to see Dwayne ride for his guys. But I want to have a little bit of fun with that. That's all I've got for you guys, though, on today's episode, man. Thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. I'll catch you guys later. Stay safe out there. You know, the weather in Michigan specifically has been really bad. I don't know about where you guys are at, if you guys aren't in Michigan, but the snow's been crazy. So stay safe out there. We have a game tonight. Enjoy the game. Go Pistons. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.